Welcome to Lou Marks The Spot, brought to you by yours truly, Lou Marks, bringing sanity and common sense back to America. Let's talk about the fake news today and its division of America. Since Donald Trump's election in 2016, the mainstream media has shed its once noble mission, the pursuit of the truth, and instead adopted a new purpose, to take down the president and spread lies and misinformation. In an excerpt from her new book, Resisting at All Costs, How Trump Haters Are Breaking America, coming out Tuesday, Kimberly Strassel examines how far the press will go in its relentless crusade. At outlets such as CNN, MSNBC, NBC, CBS, ABC, The New York Times, The Washington Post, and USA Today, it has been proved over and over again that if you don't fall in step with the hate Trump liberal agenda that those media outlets are ramming down the throats of Americans, then you will be fired or canceled. Listen to what former CNN economic analyst Stephen Moore said in an interview in May. CNN is the hate Trump network. They just trash Trump every single hour of every single day. Former CIA intelligence officer Buck Sexton, also a former CNN contributor, said, CNN used to pretend it accepted right-wing voices for balance, but now it openly despises conservatives who are pro-Trump. Taking down Trump is obviously the agenda, and the only agenda. You don't see any more conservatives on CNN. Remember when the Washington Post revealed the alarming news that House Democrats were considering having their anonymous whistleblower testify from a remote location and in disguise? Because there was no whistleblower. Just as shocking as the details of this plan was the justification the Post ladled on this Democratic effort to hide impeachment information from the public. It was all fake, phony. It explained, high up in the story, that the cloak-and-dagger approach was merely Democrats expressing distrust of their GOP colleagues, whom they see as fully invested in defending a president who has attacked the whistleblower's credibility and demanded absolute loyalty from Republicans. This from a newspaper with a tagline of, "Democracy dies in darkness." Doesn't work for them. They're the ones who hide everything. They always have an anonymous whistleblower, an anonymous source, but no one ever knows who it is. It's just something they made up. There is not, so usually it's not even a person. If there was, they would definitely show it. Maybe the better journalistic epithet is, democracy dies in bias. How did journalism ever get to this point? I've never engaged much in media criticism because it's almost too obvious. I watch it every day. Yes, the mainstream media is liberal and biased to extreme. But at least in the past, that bias was largely a function of insularity. Most reporters weren't even fully aware they were prejudiced politically. Everyone they worked and socialized with held the same left-of-center views. But that's changed in the age of Trump. The press has embraced its bias, joined the resistance, and declared its allegiance to one side of a partisan war, the Democrats and liberals. It now openly declares those who offer any fair defense of this administration as Trump enablers. It writes off those who question the FBI or Department of Justice actions in 2016 as conspiracy theorists. Even though it's been proved over and over again, we even have proof now that one of Pi is Obama. It's reality, but they deny it. It acts as willing scribes for Democrats and former Obama officials, peddles evidence-free accusations. They never have evidence. They just say something, they tell the press to say it, the news, fake news, mainstream media news to say it, and they use the same words. You ever notice that? Same words, same sentences over and over again. Sources, stories from people with clear political access is a crime. Yeah, fired employees, former government officials, and closes its eyes to clear evidence of government abuse. When the Democrats do it, they don't even want to hear about it. They don't talk about it. They don't allow anyone on their shows or the newspapers to talk about it. Otherwise, you're fired, canceled. This media war is extraordinary, overt, and increasingly divisive and damaging to the country. The installment of this Democratic media tie-up is the Ukraine story. House Intelligence Committee Chairman Adam Schiff explained that the Intelligence Community Inspector General wanted to transmit an anonymous whistleblower complaint to him, but that had been stopped by the Trump administration. Schiff has for years been obsessing over how to impeach Trump, so his claim merited great skepticism. And of course, it turned out it was all lies. Schiff is a compulsive, congenital liar. Instead, the media ran with it, though, even as it acknowledged that it did not know the subject of the complaint nor the background of the accuser, if there even was an accuser, who the accuser was. It began running stories postulating that the Trump administration had engaged in a cover-up, when all the time it was Hillary Clinton and Obama who did the cover-up. It later accepted whole cloth the whistleblower's hearsay accusation that Trump had demanded a Ukrainian investigation into former Vice President Joe Biden as a condition of military aid, before even seeing a transcript of the Trump call, which never, it didn't happen. It was untrue, another lie. The New York Times was so eager to push the impeachment narrative forward and give it credibility that it divulged the sensitive detail that the whistleblower was a CIA officer detailed to the White House. Sadly, this press behavior is nothing new. The election of Donald Trump has led to the greatest disintegration of press standards in modern history. There is no more legitimate press, with the exception of a few. For those wondering if they are getting the real story in the Ukraine impeachment drama that's still going on, it's worth taking a walk back to the past few years of what we now know was a Russia collusion hoax. One particularly bad decision helped drive all the rest of the false narrative. The press became willing advocates for government actors, at least the ones they liked. This is the reverse of the role the press is supposed to play. The media is supposed to exist to be a government watchdog. Sure, when it comes to the Trump administration, the press rides herds on every issue. When it comes to former Obama officials, Jim Comey, Andrew McCabe, John Brennan, now Joe Biden, the media has swallowed everything and is told. They just take it as gospel fact. They could say, it's raining out and the sun is shining, but they'll say it's raining. It's hard to explain just how big a dereliction of duty this is. It's incredible. The FBI's Trump-Russia investigation fell clearly into a government abuse of power story, and Comey's testifying in front of the Senate right now, lying again as usual, and has absolute amnesia. How could the head of the supposedly finest law enforcement agency in the world not remember anything over 3-4 years or more? Can't remember almost anything. 95%, 99% he can't remember. Comes laden with red flags. Opposition research from the rival campaign, backdoor channels to the IRS, surveillance of American citizens, and the list goes on. And yet anything the former people of power told the press to write, the press wrote. The best example is that infamous New York Times story about the origin of the FBI probe, which we now know is a total lie. In late 2017, when former House Intelligence Chairman Devin Nunes finally came close to winning his battle with the DOJ to see documents about the infamous Steele dossier, FBI protectors absolutely panicked. They knew how terrible it would look that they had used opposition research from a rival campaign, which was Hillary Clinton, and went all the way up to Joe Biden and the president for then, Obama, to get surveillance warrants on at least one Trump campaign official, which now have all been proven false and illegal and fraudulent. So someone called the New York Times for help in getting ahead of the story. On December 30th, 2017, it published How the Russia Inquiry Began, a campaign aide, drinks and talk of political dirt. The story was, of course, all about how George Papadopoulos had inspired the FBI's probe, and it flat-out narrated what would become the FBI line about its origins. It also flatly dismissed the dossier. The Papadopoulos take answers one of the lingering mysteries of the past year. What so alarmed American officials provoked the FBI to open a counter and intelligence investigations in Trump campaign months before the presidential election? Was not, as Trump and other politicians have alleged, a dossier compiled by a former British spy hired by a rival campaign, opined the Times. The story cited nobody in the story other than the anonymous American and foreign officials. There we go, anonymous and foreign. but they turned out to be quite a few Americans, like Hillary Clinton, Joe Biden, and Barack Obama. In May 2018, the paper ran another blockbuster supposed story about the FBI's Trump investigation, which was codenamed Crossfire Hurricane. The Times reported that only in mid-September, congressional investigators say, did the dossier reach the Crossfire Hurricane team. This is another false statement, a lie. Justice Department official Bruce Orr has testified under oath that he briefed a lot of people about the dossier and its political provenance, which was false. Not long after it was handed to him in late July, as of the writing of his book, the Times has never updated or corrected that piece, and they never will. The willingness to be spoon-fed is what drove so many big press bloopers. Was there a collusion press error hall of fame? CNN would be the first inductee and would win first place. There was CNN's decision in 2017 to run a story based on one unnamed source claiming a presidential advisor. We're going to unnamed sources again. I can make up a million unnamed sources, so could you. Claiming that presidential advisor, who was Anthony Scaramucci, was under investigation for his ties to a Russian investment fund. CNN had to retract the story, and three of its journalists resigned because of it. But they just kept going. In December 2017, CNN announced a scoop for the ages. Again, it's always a scoop, a blockbuster. It claimed it had evidence that Donald Trump Jr. had been offered by advance access to hack Democratic emails. MSNBC and CBS also claimed to have confirmed this evidence that the Trump campaign and WikiLeaks had been colluding. More lies. It later came out that the outlets had gotten the date on their evidence wrong. Donald Trump Jr. had been sent an email directing him to look at the WikiLeaks dump after WikiLeaks had already made it public. Totally useless. More lies. It continues to this day, and they never apologize. They have no shame. They lie. They find out it's a lie. They just continue to come up with a new lie. Continue to lie. It's absolutely one of the most incredible things I've ever seen anywhere, any place, anytime. There's no other country like it anymore. America is in big trouble. And don't forget BuzzFeed's epic news in January, again, epic, 2019, that President Trump personally directed his longtime attorney, Michael Cohen, who went to jail for other crimes, who was a liar and a criminal as well, to lie to Congress about the Trump Tower project in Moscow. Politicians seized on the news, and of course, Shifty Schiff promised to do what was necessary to find out if the president had committed perjury. Democratic Representative Joaquin Castro, another one, said that if the allegations were true, Trump must resign. The problem? They weren't true. As usual, there were more lies. This one was such an invention that Special Counsel Bob Mueller's team made a rare statement. They actually denied the BuzzFeed report. There are plenty more, millions more. It's constant. It's every day. The Washington Post claimed Russia had accessed the U.S. electrical grid through a Vermont utility. Not true. Lies again. Slate claimed the Trump server had been communicating with Russia. Again, not true. Lies. The Guardian claimed that Paul Manafort had visited Julian Assange in his hideout at the Ecuadorian embassy in London three times. If so, Mueller missed it. More lies. The press gets furious when Trump talks about fake news. But what else would you call this? It's fake news, it's disgusting news, it's hateful news, it's divisive news, it's dangerous news. Most people don't believe it, I know you don't believe it, but some people, too many people do believe it. When you hear something every day, over and over again, like Hitler and Goebbels said, the public will eventually believe it to be the truth. And this is the Democrats and the fake news media's practice. Another all-time low the past few years, which we are seeing again now, has been the media's willingness to run fact-free accusations. Like I said, there's no facts, there's no proof. I can say anything. I could say Adam Schiff is a pedophile. I have pictures. It's just a lie. But that's what they do. And then they run with it. And they make it like gospel truth. As case in point, claims from the Steele dossier. The specific charges in that document have never been proven to this day. They've been proven actually to be false. Opposition research firm Fusion GPS was incredibly clever in its decision to feed that document to the FBI to give it more credibility. But the fact that the FBI hadn't, or that Schiff was irresponsible to quote from it during a hearing, didn't release the press from a basic obligation. They either verify the truth, which they never do, or treat the document for what it was, slander, which they would never do. Instead, the media repeated the dossier's claims ad nauseum, rarely bothering to note the partisan motivations behind its creation, or even if it was true, which it turns out now it was all lies. They never had any proof, but they ran with it. This is the problem. Anyone can make up a story every day, 100 stories, 1,000 stories. Very hard to prove a lie. You can prove facts, but you can't very hard to prove a lie, because how are you going to prove something that doesn't exist? But that's what they do. It's the most evil of all things. The willingness to cast aside facts in favor of theory is what has fed years of hysterical collusion conspiracy theories. By embracing hypothetics rather than tracking down facts, the press indulged in endless connected dot exercises. Like I said, that can never be proved or disproved, so they can get away with any lie they want. In April 2018, two reporters from McClatchy cited sources, again, sources, unnamed sources, who said Mueller has evidence. Michael Cohen was in Prague in 2016, confirming part of the dossier. The story claimed Cohen had secretly snuck into the Czech Republic. What is he now, a super spy, James Bond? Through Germany, presumably for a clandestine meeting with Kremlin officials. And again, quoted only sources familiar with the matter. That could have been their cat. Yet Cohen had vehemently insisted that he'd never been there. Still, they continued with the lie. And the Mueller report would later flatly say he had not. Even the Mueller report had to say it was a lie. McClatchy, as the writing of his book, still hasn't retracted the story. Why? It claims that when it was reporting that was that Mueller had received evidence, and it noted that Mueller never said he didn't receive evidence. See what I mean? Just lies on top of lies, twisting words, things that couldn't be proven. But Mueller said it wasn't true. But they don't want to even accept that. Their own person. Liberal opinion writers were even worse, and they still are worse. One of the standout headlines from 2018 came from Jonathan Trape, writing in the New York Magazine. It read, "Prump Tootin'. Will Trump be meeting with his counterpart or his handler?" Here they go again. They asked, what if Trump has been a Russian asset from 1987? See what I mean? What if Adam Schiff was a Chinese asset? I say he is. I say Biden is. His son definitely is taking bribes from China. They behold Biden family, crime family, is beholden to China. So is Obama. Obama gave everything to the radical Islamists in Iran. Stormy Daniels, Assange, and so much more. The story, suffice it to say, did not age well. It was all lies. All reporters sometimes bend the rule or go out on a limb to get something wrong. But the important thing is that they usually do this in aid of getting truth to the public. What has defined the media breakdown that started in 2016 was the press's abandonment of standards in aid of pending a narrative, rather than reality. They just make up a story. The heck with reality. This abandonment has had terrible consequences for the industry and for the country. It's made such a divisive situation in America today, it's unbelievable. A Monmouth University poll in early 2018 found that a whopping 77% of Americans believe traditional TV and newspaper outlets report fake news. I guess President Trump is not all wrong. He keeps calling it fake news. 77% of all Americans, or more, probably it's more like 90%, they believe the same. And 42% of respondents said they believe outlets did this specifically to promote a political agenda. They know, you know, we all know. These kinds of numbers are alarming for civil society. The more Americans are turned off from traditional news, the more they turn to dubious sources like CNN and read and listen only to things with which they agree. For those worried about our increasingly polarized society, the media is constantly feeding that divide. The media is what is polarizing and dividing the society in America. Left-wing hypocritical media outlets blasted the president as xenophobic when he quickly canceled flights between China and the United States when they heard of COVID virus, and then turned around and criticized him a second time for not doing enough to stop the spread of the virus. This is Biden's constant mantra today. But Trump did it when everybody else said he was xenophobic and wrong and it was terrible to do it, but he knew. This is the common damned if you do, damned if you don't approach that the mainstream media fake news only applies to President Trump. He was right, everyone else was wrong, and he gets blamed for it. But it's even worse than that. The New York Times gleefully started calling the crisis the Trump virus. Can you believe it? And some of its columnists started openly rooting for the economy to tank and the crisis to grow. Yes, the New York Times was hoping that average Americans' retirement accounts were wiped out and that more people got sick. This would hurt President Trump, so they thought, but actually it's hurting the American people. And it's pretty clear that many of the mainstream media fake news outlets were pushing the crisis in an effort to cause hysteria and panic. They're still doing it. That might hurt the Trump administration. The Democrats, the mainstream media, Biden, the liberals want the country closed. Closed sort of hurt Trump. And if Trump gets elected, he'll reopen it. And if he doesn't, they'll reopen it. But they want it closed so it can hurt Trump. Mueller didn't work. Impeachment. And impeachment didn't work. Let's try making a Chinese virus the fault of the president. Sick, disgusting degenerates. These people are the real danger to America, not even the coronavirus. And the hypocrisy. It is there for anyone to see. And you don't have to look very hard. There is no argument whatsoever among rational, decent human beings that ground zero for this virus started in Wuhan, China. After the president went on television and referred to the coronavirus as a foreign virus, he was blasted by network media reporters and assorted other so-called journalists, the fake news media, the Democrats and the liberals, as racist and xenophobic, but telling the absolute truth. CNN's Jim Acosta and Chris Cuomo, two of the biggest morons I've ever seen on TV, had an entire segment in which Acosta alleged that the president's statement as smacking of xenophobia. I cannot in good conscience call Acosta a journalist. He's a moron, as he has turned into nothing more than an anti-Trump propagandist along the same lines as Rachel Maddow and the rest of them. But his hypocrisy in this instance is even more glaring than usual. Just a month before he blasted the president for using the phrase foreign virus, Jim Acosta tweeted the following. Authorities in Beijing have canceled all large-scale Chinese New Year celebrations in an effort to contain the growing spread of the Wuhan coronavirus. Beijing, China, said that. But if Trump says it, he's xenophobic, racist, and wrong. Here is all you really need to know about CNN and the rest of the mainstream fake news media. Before they all jumped on the bandwagon of criticizing the president for calling the coronavirus a foreign virus, which it is, all of the network anchors, reporters, and pundits were calling the virus the Wuhan coronavirus. Once Trump said it, though, it changed. What are we going to call it? The American virus? It started in China? It's a Chinese virus. We have the videotape to prove it. The news has it. Need more proof of the hypocrisy of the mainstream media? On March 10th, the Washington Post blasted the Trump administration for linking the virus to China. Where did it come from? Even China said it came from Wuhan, China. They failed to mention that 2 months earlier they ran the headline, first U.S. case of potentially deadly Chinese coronavirus confirmed in Washington State. Don't these people know they are the news, that there's tapes, the video of all this? They make it. But they forget it. They don't care. They figure American people are stupid, which we're not, which we're not going to fall for it anymore. We've had enough. For all the people who attacked the president for calling the mainstream media fake news, well, here's your definitive proof. The same media outlets that spent months calling the current crisis the Wuhan or Chinese coronavirus have now decided it is racist, since the president and other Republicans have decided to call it the same thing. So if they call it that, it's fine. President or Republicans call it that, it's racist. What else can you call it? Sadly, this isn't just hypocritical. It's also misleading and ultimately very dangerous. The Chinese government has started a propaganda campaign, which has been going on for months, in which they theorize that the virus was started by the United States of America. See what happens? Our own press, our own fake news media, our own Democrats and liberals give other countries the chance, demoralize, and blame the United States for their problems. Knowing that the mainstream media will take any opportunity they can to make an unwarranted attack on the president, can we trust that they won't side with Communist China in this misinformation campaign? They do it a little bit at a time, and they will more. A current crop of mainstream media journalists seem to have received their training from the 1970s Soviet newspaper and anti-American propaganda tool Pravda, if anyone remembers that. So why wouldn't we think that they were going to Chinese propaganda recurring the coronavirus? Heck, it was probably the New York Times calling this crisis the Trump virus that gave the Chinese the idea in the first place. We do more damage. The mainstream news media does more damage to America than all the other foreign enemies combined. For 3.5 years and more now, the mainstream media, and a lot of Democrats and the liberals and Hollywood, have been looking for a way to take down President Trump and destroy the prosperous American economy. Their prayers were answered. As CNN and its ilk continue to push in Americans to panic over COVID-19, I'm sure when it is all over, they will say that the dead bodies, bankrupt businesses, and pain and suffering that Americans had to endure was worth it if the Democrats take back the House in November. Can you imagine that? They're practically saying it now. They're saying it now. They would rather have economic recession, and I'm sure they're pushing the corona, which Biden is, just to get back to the White House. It's all about power for the Democrats and liberals. The current threat to democracy emanates from new forms of propaganda, with lies being deliberately fed to a naive and over-emotional public, mostly the young. The simultaneous rise of populist parties and terrorist organizations such as Antifa and Black Lives Matter and digital platforms and social media has triggered well-known anxieties regarding the fate of truth in democratic societies. Fake news and internet echo chambers, they repeat the same thing over and over again, are used to manipulate and get away certain communities for shadowy ends. Key groups, millennials, are easily persuadable thanks to their excessiveness, naivety, and selfishness. What's the way forward then? There are no easy answers to this question. This analysis mainly points to solutions that won't work. Voluntary efforts at restraint by fake news journalists won't work because of advertising-based business models and competition and huge profits. Eliminating fake news won't change the fact that voters ignore ideas contrary to their beliefs. Many people do, but we won't. And it won't solve the media's structural challenges or change its incentives. The most ridiculous of all is the new lie that President Trump paid only $750 in taxes. If anyone honestly believes that Trump, his accountants, his lawyers, and the IRS and the state and federal governments is that stupid to allow someone of Trump's wealth, then the believers of this absurd nonsense are even more stupid than they are. Instead, it's now time for all of us to have to look for ways to confront these challenges, use our common sense, and see, not listen to, but see the realities of what is happening. Only together can we change and fix the problems of America today. The stakes now could not be higher.